or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Let's start from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Are you there? All of us are going to read together those two verses of Scripture. Powerful, life-changing verses of Scripture. Okay, we're all reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let's go. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Tonight, God will grant you what you request. Sweet Holy Spirit, we receive grace for breaking limits tonight in Jesus' name. All right, let's title this Breaking Free from Poverty. Breaking Free from Poverty. You know, that song rings in my heart, no limits, no boundaries. Okay, if you watch us on TV, that song rings all the time. And our advertorials for the past few years in Daystar has borne those imprints. No limits, no boundaries. Make yours a world of possibilities. So I like that song. No limits, no boundaries. Amen. I see increase all around me. Oh, we're going to sing that song in a few minutes, all right? We're continuing our discussion on how to turn intangible wealth into tangible wealth. How to move your wealth from an intangible state to a tangible state. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh. My quest has been to understand the spiritual technology for converting dreams to reality. Nobody who has access to dreams, to visions, to ideas, can be called poor. Because the intangible world created the tangible one. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So I want to understand how to access wealth in the intangible realm and to convert them into tangible wealth. We started out the other time on work, the power of work, and the fact that the major part of the work that you do to create wealth is spiritual and mental. And then you add physical work to it. Anyway, I have a few tips today to help us. Just a few more things to add. The first one, increase your income. Increase your income as you take practical steps to break free from material poverty. Look for ways to increase your income. Of course, the starting point is for you to decide on your financial goal. You've got to have a definite financial goal. It's not enough for you to say, I want to make more money. That's not a goal. It's vague. Goals are specific. Okay? Goals are specific. How much do you want to make? How much are you earning now? How much will you like to earn? And when would you want to attain that level of income? My income now is 50,000 naira. I want my income to increase to 100,000 naira. Fantastic. That's how to set a goal. It's specific. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Specificity. Critical. If you want to move from where you are, define exactly where you are going. Give it a deadline. When? It may be 6 months, it may be 1 year. Okay? You may give yourself a target. Exactly 1 year from now, I want my monthly income to be this. That's where to start from. That's where to start from. And then read Success Is Who You Are. Okay? And that's my latest book. And see there how to set goals. How to, you know, organize your inner resources, spiritual and mental powers to focus on a goal until it becomes your reality. How to write goals on a sheet of paper, stick them on the wall. How to cut out pictures from magazines, stick them on the wall, see them every day. Okay? How to write a check in your name and stick it on the wall where you can see it daily. And scriptural proofs of how God changed people's lives through those methods in the Bible. Abraham wanted children. He was confronted with poverty. And God told him to count the stars and said, as many as those stars are, so will your descendants be. Because he needed to have a picture in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you've got to be specific about how much you want to make. It's not a big deal. Somebody's earning that amount of money already. 200,000 a month, half a million naira a month, 1 million naira a month. But you just obey the laws of goal setting. Simple principles, ABC of goals. It's got to be achievable. If the moment you're writing it and giving it a deadline, you know that it is unrealistic, you failed before starting. Okay? It's got to be achievable. It's got to be believable. Okay? In other words, it does not create huge doubts that defeat you. So that's why it's good for you to take it in steps. Don't be a vague dreamer. Don't be a wishful thinker. We're talking about concrete things here. It's got to be achievable, it's got to be believable, and it's got to be concrete. And concrete means it's specific. It's not a figure that changes every day. It's specific, all right? So decide on a definite financial goal. And I've been doing that for years, okay? I do it on an annual basis. That's what I do, annual basis. So every year, I plan, okay, for the finances of that year. If I do that towards the end of the year, I do that for the following year. Look at all my sources of income and set targets, set goals, okay? Anyway, when you've set a target like that, something becomes apparent to you. You've got to define how you're going to achieve that amount of money. Okay? So then I have a few tips. Number one, get a job. If you are not working yet, you're not earning any income, the first thing to do is to get a job or get another job or create a job for yourself. But you've got to be earning something. I know. When we talk about getting a job, especially in times like this, global economic recession, people are losing jobs and so on. What are you talking about? This is where the battle begins. See, because in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." You have to be willing to run against the culture if you want to rise. Don't take what is said in the news and accept that, the bad news in the news, and accept that as your reality. Secondly, in our environment here, I am aware that when you say get a job, you see, it makes a person feel weak, helpless, at the mercy of the person who has the job. It's unfortunate, but the popular thinking is you need to get a job. And if you need to get a job, then you are at the mercy of the person who offers the job. And I want to say today, you are not at the mercy of the person offering a job. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. You are a wealthy person who wants to add some of the value of your wealth to an organization. You are not a liability looking for somewhere to attach yourself. You see, because that's part of what makes people fail interviews sometimes. It shows the way we talk, the way we sit, the way we comport ourselves, that we feel that employers literally hold our lives in their hands. They don't. In fact, I got this little piece of advice from a book many years ago. I can't even remember which book it was. But the book encouraged that you should incorporate yourself. You should see yourself as the chairman, CEO of You Incorporated. When you get a job, it's a contract. So, the CEO of You Incorporated is being loaned to whatever Nigeria Limited at an agreed price per month for offering so-and-so services. You see, that way you approach a job with dignity. You don't have to lose value and lose dignity because you're getting a job. It's a contract, sir. And I tell people that the way employers have the right to choose employees, that's the way employees have a right to choose their employers. See, don't just take any job. Remember what we said about work. That it is not the paycheck at the end of the month that is your greatest reward for working. In fact, we said, don't work for money. The greatest reward you get for working is the person you become in the process of doing that job. And there are places where you should not be found, because they cannot mold you into the kind of a person that you see in your vision. So, get a job. The first thing is overcome inertia. Kill the excuses. Now, if you can't, you see, focus on the core thing. What's the core thing, really? The core transaction that takes place when you have a job. You add value. You solve problems. That's the core thing. You give out value. Remember, that's what qualifies you for a salary at the end of the month. Money is only a means of exchange of value. Do you have any value to add? That's the point. People look for jobs sometimes and their focus is on that salary. Their focus. I understand how it is. I understand the way the environment, the poverty in the environment controls our thinking around here. So the general thinking is on the amount. The fixation is on the amount. Ah! Man, 100,000 per month. That's okay. So how much value are you giving in exchange? See, the people paying the 100,000 have quantified the amount of value they expect from the person occupying the position. That's why they fix the 100,000 naira there. So the big issue is not the money. The big issue is the value. So if you want to increase your income, then increase the value that you are giving in exchange. Let's focus on that. If you cannot find yet a place where you can be paid for giving value, find a place all the same and give the value out. You know why? You trigger a principle that can never fail. Seed time and harvest shall never cease. Give and it shall what? Be given to you. Some of us have forced value to come back to us. When I couldn't get a job, I went to offer my services for free. The place where I found them was the church. It can be anywhere. An opportunity to give out value. The service you can do to yourself is to say that because you are unemployed, you will sit down and give nothing. You should be wiser than that. Even if it's for free, go somewhere and invest, because investment is the key to achievement. Output answers to input. You can prime the well open, the well of blessing, if you will offer your services. Amen. I've shared before the story of one of our brothers here in church who, you know, showed up one day and said that he wanted to do the laundry in our house. And I declined because our laundry was taken care of. And he insisted that it was God who told him to do that. For him, it was a divine idea. We didn't need him. We don't need that. But he just said, so I said, okay, since he said it was God, allowed him to do it. And he did the washing and said he was coming 2 days after to do the ironing. And he has not come back since then. Not because he ran away, but because that day that he came to add value in our house, he met a letter at home inviting him for a job interview. He went for the interview the next day. The day he was supposed to do ironing, he resumed at a bank. He's still here. And this was some 10 or 9 years ago. It's remarkable. I can't forget it. The Holy Spirit prompted him. Now, I'm telling you now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so don't wait for an angel to come and appear to you in the night. Find somewhere to add value. That's why we have service units in church, opportunities for people to serve. It's just that unfortunately, our focus is always on getting, what to get. So, define how much it is you want to earn to get a job. Find an opportunity to add value somewhere. Thirdly, develop expertise. That's even when you have a job, develop your expertise. Because in your line of profession, people earn money at different levels. Am I right? Yeah. In your line of profession, people earn money at different levels. Shoot for the highest level. And what you need to do is don't focus on the money, don't focus on all the perks of office that the people on the higher level get. Focus on the kind of value they are adding and the kind of problems they are solving. And develop the competence to solve problems at that level. When I realized my assignment is teaching, then I said to myself, I have to develop this thing to the point where if without notice, I would find myself in the presence of the president of my country or the president of the United States of America, if I had only 5 minutes to talk, I would have something to say. That's the goal I set for myself. Prepare for your opportunities. Okay? So develop expertise. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man? Well, in the King James Version it says, who is diligent in his business. More recent translations, I think, put this thing more clearly. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. In the New King James Version, it says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. The difference between the kings and the unknown men is what they can afford to pay. Yeah. There are cooks and there are cooks. There are drivers and there are drivers. There are fashion designers and there are fashion designers. Am I right? There are secretaries and there are secretaries. There are accountants and there are accountants. There are lawyers and there are lawyers. And I'm talking about people functioning at different levels of excellence, of expertise. So instead of focusing on what to get, how much to make, I see so many people in this country fail on this call. When you want to discuss business with them, the first thing they want to talk about is the money. I attended an event today, and you know, the person who organized the event was saying to me, I wanted to contract someone to do the video recording, and you know, I'd never met him before. Somebody introduced him, and the first thing he wanted us to settle was how much it was going to take. He wanted 100,000 naira. He said, I told him to just go because I have a camera myself. So I bought the battery, I put the battery in there, bought the cassette, and I gave it to somebody, and the person recorded the event. End of story. I said, for God's sake, this guy missed everything. He missed it. He missed it. He missed it because he's blind. And his definition of money is limited to the paper, the cash. His focus should have been on the value. Listen, if you come across someone, you want to offer a service, the person wants to bring the money issue first, tell the person to hold on, keep the money issue last. How can someone appreciate how much you are worth when you have not defined the value you are going to add? That's the first thing to do. Ask questions. Get the person talking. And then come with all the various ideas, creative and innovative ideas, by which you can add value to the person. When it comes to the issue of money, you will have a strong basis for negotiating. When someone's seen all the value that you can add. And at that point now, when you agree to some amount of money, sometimes it will now look like you are doing the person a favor. Because you focused first on the value that you are giving. That's life. That's what it's all about. So that's why I'm saying you've got to focus on expertise, on excellence. Develop additional skill. If you need to take a course, take a course. Read books. Learn. And when you read the book, The Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, there's a principle there called the 10,000 hours principle. They found out that everyone who's become an expert in their field has done at least 10,000 hours, spent at least 10,000 hours doing that job. You can start counting, all right? Adding up the hours you have done. If you're a pilot, have you flown an airplane for 10,000 hours? 10,000 hours. Develop expertise. Okay? They say practice makes perfect. Develop expertise. Do your job with excellence. Let me see what some other translations say here. The New Century Version. Do you see people skilled in their work? They will work for kings, not for ordinary people. The Message Bible says, observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Amen. They will soon send for you. do the job well. I cannot stand a Christian doing a shoddy job. Because I do not then understand the essence of the investment of the Holy Spirit in the person's life. You and the Spirit of God inside you did a job and they are complaining. You constructed a chair with four legs. Two of them are not touching the ground. Anyone who sits on the chair rocks from side to side. And listen, the people who buy your products or services are not stupid. They want value for their money. If you work in an organization, it's the same thing. Focus on the value that you are adding. It's got to be exceptional. In Colossians chapter 3, I see a standard set for us, and I think it's unbeatable. Nobody will do this and not get a promotion. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Be a sincere person. Don't cut corners. See, if you cut corners, it will catch up with you. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it enthusiastically. Do it passionately. If this job bores you to death, leave it. You can't prosper in it. Do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that remarkable? The person who really organizes your promotion in life is God. Everything you do, he said, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. Verse 25. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. Let me read the Message Bible. Colossians 3:22-25. Servants, do what you are told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Confident that you will get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Spirituality is not an excuse for mediocrity. If you can speak in tongues while you are doing what you are doing, for God's sake, there should be God's extra on it. Because that little extra is what makes you extraordinary. Do your work with excellence. Do it better than everybody else. Treat people well. You serve customers. Treat people with respect. Treat people with honor. He said, do it heartily. Don't move around sluggishly and lazily. Treat people like they are kings. Run around. Give value. Push it. Go the extra mile. Exceed people's expectations. Wow people literally. And put them in obligation to you. Let people wonder, how much did I pay that I'm getting all this? That will keep them coming back. More importantly, you get referrals, cheap referrals, without advertising. The most powerful form of advertising is word of mouth. Word of mouth advertising from somebody who's had a personal experience. People don't know what happens when they treat people shoddily, when they don't do a good job. Interesting thing, and it's been proven statistically, is that one unhappy customer will do you a whole lot more evil than the good that one happy customer will do. One happy customer will tell four people, the unhappy customer will tell 25. Bad news spreads faster. Find something to sell. Find something to sell. Find a product, a service to offer. Add a new skill or start a new business. Employ yourself. Don't wake up in the morning and lie on the bed because you don't have a job. And then stay there till 10 o'clock, till they ask you to come and take Ogi and Akara. Put yourself in the mode. You are the chief executive officer of You Incorporated. Okay? Get poised for action. Wake up. When people who go to work, wake up. Have your bath and dress up. And if you have nowhere to go, sit down by the table in your office. Get a sheet of paper out and review your plans. Amen? Put yourself in the mood. I'm asking you to take practical steps to put pressure on life, put pressure on the circumstances, and break free from those limits that the devil has drawn around you. That was what Jabez did. Oh my God. A man was born and named Jabez. I love it. The whole of Chronicles is about family lines, family trees. And before him, for chapters, they had been listing people's names. But the Holy Spirit made it in such a way that when they got to his story, they took a break. They took a break and explained a little bit why this man was different from everybody else. That's your testimony. I don't know how it's been down the line up to you, but the story is changing. The story is changing with you. Let me read it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If you read from verse 1, and the sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobai, and all of that. And then, listing names. Verse 7, the sons of Hila were Zeret, Zohar, and Etnan, and calls be God, Anub, Zubiba, and the families of Ahahel, the son of Harum. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That will be your testimony. There will be God's extra touch on your life that will take you beyond the limitations others have experienced, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The word Jabez means in pain. Or he will cause pain. Because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm entitled to bless it. The blessing that God spoke of Abraham is mine. Why is my own situation like this? I don't know why my grandfather accepted his situation. I don't know why my father accepted poverty as his reality, but me, I am not going to take this as my reality. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. These limits, cultural limits that have been defined for me, will not define my life. She named him Jabez. She said, because I bore him in pain. She used the circumstances of his birth to define his future. And that's how most of us have been defined. The average person born in this country is defined by the poverty in the environment. And all of it is just statistic. It's just nomenclature. It's not the reality. We live in one of the most prosperous countries in the world. One of the greatest nations in the world, potentially speaking. We are not poor. 70% of Nigerians live below the poverty line. That is, they live on less than $1 a day. Is that you? That's the statistic. Oh, the life expectancy is low. It's 42 years, it's 47 years. Nonsense. Is that you? So it's up to you to accept whether you are part of the statistic or not.
That's what this man was saying. You've been writing everybody's history. Everybody looks the same. Mine must be different. Devil, you did it up to here. It stops here and goes no further. From here, my lineage changes. Did I hear you say amen to that? Bless me indeed. Don't define me. I don't want to be defined by the current circumstances. I don't want to be defined by the state of the economy. I don't want to be defined by any recession. I want to be defined by my destiny. I want to fulfill my potentials in God. So he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. I like that. Let me read it from the New Century Version. There was a man named Jabez who was respected more than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because she said, I was in much pain when I gave birth to him. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, please do good things for me and give me more land. Somebody say with me, more land. Don't take what they are saying that you are not entitled to more. Who said? Reach out for more. Give me more land. Give me more land. Stay with me and don't let anyone hurt me. Whatever has been running other people down must not touch me. He said, then I won't have any pain. And God did what Jabez had asked. Ask the person sitting next to you, what are you asking for tonight? Let's move on. My second thought for tonight. Save for emergencies. Save for emergencies. As you begin to enlarge your financial territory, save for emergencies. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20, the Bible says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. The New Century Version says, wise people's houses are full of the best foods and olive oil, but fools waste everything they have. Fools waste everything they have. Saving is a basic principle of the farm. Okay, some of the most powerful principles that control our world are called the laws of the farm. What you sow is what you reap. The quality of what you sow determines the quality of what you reap. The quantity of what you sow determines the quantity of what you reap. Okay? The quantity of your seed determines the quantity of your harvest. There's always a waiting period between sowing season and harvest season. The basic principles. But then sometimes the world gets so sophisticated we forget them and we get punished for that. They're basic principles and they're inviolable. They don't change. So taking some out of your last harvest to plant, okay, to create a future harvest for yourself is a basic principle. So any wise person who wants to have continual increase in finances must develop the habit of not spending everything. Solomon said it's a fool that spends everything. When Pharaoh had the dream that he had, the king of Egypt, the dream that he had in Genesis 41, Joseph, who had the gift of interpretation of dreams, said, your dream shows there will be 7 years of plenty, there will be 7 years of famine. He said, now I'll quickly tell you what to do, kicking the principle. Don't eat everything. He said, keep a fifth part or 20%. And we see the miracle that happened with the 20% that they saved over 7 years. How the value exploded during the years of famine. And when people were desperate to buy, that was when they were in the position to sell. That's life. So please, if you want to break free from the spirit of poverty, I'll tell you part of how that spirit works. When that spirit is after you, it makes you to spend everything that you are getting. Makes you to eat all of your harvest, including what you should sow for tomorrow. Don't spend everything. Experts say we should save at least 10% of our income. Joseph did 20% aggressive saving. Now, I say, even if you have to start with 5%, save something. Okay? Because I know sometimes the money is not enough. That was my experience. I understand what it's like for the money not to cover your bills. Okay? So the big question now is, how will the money ever cover the bills if you don't break out of the cycle? And you have to leverage on the power in principles to tame this poverty and this lack that is trying to keep you in poverty. It's a principle. Don't spend everything. Save some. Even if it's 1%, keep something back. Tell poverty, all the excuses and reasons you are giving me for spending everything are excuses for poverty. And I'm done with you. Take some of the money out, keep it, look at it, and prophesy over it. And tell the devil, shame on you. I will not spend it. I am free. Amen. That's where the battle is, sir. That's where the battle is. If you want to break free from the spirit of poverty, you've got to keep some. Okay? Don't spend everything. Now, once you have started, save up 2 to 6 months equivalent of your monthly expenses. Save 2 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. I'm talking about emergency funds. Because part of the things that ruins people in this country, puts us in very desperate situations and circumstances, is the fact that we find ourselves in some emergency situations and we're finished. No backup. Nothing. Nothing. Somebody takes ill somewhere. Okay? Somebody loses a job. Most people who have jobs are just 2 to 3 weeks away from bankruptcy, from being flat broke. And they're earning good salaries. That's what I'm talking about. Estimate your monthly expenses and save up 2 to 6 months equivalent. If you can do 2 months, that's your first major milestone. Congratulate yourself if you can make 2 months. Keep it somewhere. Let it be breeding. In fact, you'll be surprised how the spirit of poverty will be looking at you and how helpless it will be when you have some money in the account that is breeding. I'm serious. It's a different feeling and you need to taste it. If you can put 6 months in there, fantastic. My personal experience. The day someone spoke on Proverbs 21 verse 20 at the seminar for just 10 minutes, my life changed and changed forever. Because the person said, if you spend everything that is coming to you, you are a fool. I would have gotten angry, but for the fact that it was the Bible that he was teaching. It was Bible. He said, I'm not the one who says so. It's the Bible. It's Solomon that says so in the Bible. And then the immediate thing I began to do in my mind was to justify myself. What if the money is not enough? What if the money is not enough? As if he heard what I was saying. He said, I know some of you say the reason why you spend everything is because the money is not enough. Now let me tell you, the fact that you spend everything is proof that your wisdom pipe is blocked. Now, it was as if somebody took a pipe and hit it on my head. What?
I'll never forget. Because it was a morning session at a seminar. I got back to the office and sent somebody to the bank to get the forms for me, for a savings account. It's not the hearer of the word that is blessed. It's the doer of it. I got a savings account and began to save. At a time when my monthly salary was 30,000 naira, I saw how much of a waster I had been, because within 1 month, I had 100,000 naira saved up in the account. And all my bills were paid comfortably. I said, what? And of course, the feeling was different. So I kept on with it. What I observed was that my income just shot up. My monthly income shot up after 3 months. And you know, I did exactly the same thing for the church. Same thing. Got to keep money apart and fix deposit. The church income also went up. Then I had to pray. I had to talk to God about it. I said, Lord, looks like I stepped on a live wire somewhere. Something is working for me that I don't understand. What's going on? And he explained it to me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He said, before, when you were broke both physically and spiritually. You see, when you ran out of money in your pocket, you couldn't keep the thought of poverty away, and you could not keep the emotions of poverty away. You felt poor. You thought poor. And as long as you thought poor and felt poor, you were a magnet for poverty. He said, but now that you have money in the account, when you run out of money in your pocket, the thought of poverty and the feeling of poverty will want to come to you. When you remember the money in the account, he said, those thoughts will run away from you because there's money in the account. And he said, as long as that figure that is in the account is in your mind, you will continue to attract that same value to yourself. Because every human being is a living magnet. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. This is spiritual warfare. You will understand why the devil won't want you, therefore, to do that. He will fight you, throw all sorts of things at you to stop you from doing it, because they said it's a fool that does so. Things are changing, right? So there's a reason why in Matthew 25, verse 29, Jesus said, while giving us the illustration of the parable of talents, why the master said concerning the man who had one talent and who could not multiply it, take the talent from him, give it to the man who has ten. For to him that has, more will be given. From him that has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as you save your money, let it earn interest. Let it earn what? Interest. When you put money in savings account, it earns interest. Don't leave it there. Put it in fixed deposit. Taste what rich people taste. I'm telling you, I didn't realize how powerful it could be until we started it, both personally and for the church. Interest, monthly. See, some few thousand naira, for the church, the big thing began to run into hundreds of thousands of naira. Interest. I said, fantastic. You can make money off a bank. I prefer this. Okay, let your money earn interest. Let it be easily accessible. So, I'm not talking about the money you put in shares or stocks that you have to look for how to sell or use to buy land. I'm talking about liquid money that you can easily access when you need it. Limit your exposure to adverts. Because some people, this book of the catalog shall not depart from before their eyes. They shall meditate in it day and night, that they may observe to buy everything that is in it. For then they will walk their way into poverty. You bought a TV with your money, you paid the electricity bills,
And people will come there to torment you, harass you, okay, to whet your appetite, cause you to salivate till you spend your money. Shut it down. Limit your exposure. Listen to me. Marketers and advertisers are getting more and more sophisticated. You don't know the amount of psychology and research that goes into the packaging of materials now. They're after you. One of our church members mentioned a book, you know, last week, and I thought, wow, I need to buy this book, and then I discovered I already had it in my library. It's titled Biology. Biology. Not biology, by B-U-Y. Ology. Research, where they attached electrodes to people's brains to see, you know, when they want to buy, which parts of their brains are active. And with that, they know what to put in the advert to catch you. Stop exposing yourself to the adverts. Take my advice. And then next, develop contentment. Develop contentment. We brought nothing into the world. We'll take nothing out. Don't be materialistic. Don't define your life by what you have. You are not what you drive. Clothes, shoes, love God. Enjoy material things, oh yes, but for God's sake, if they are there, enjoy them. If they are not, all the same. Did you hear what Jesus said? The life is more important than the clothes. In a poor environment, it's the easiest thing in the world to make people hung up on material things. Hey, he, wow, man. So what? And then when those things leave, you see why people find themselves in very desperate circumstances in this country, because they've been used to impressing people that they are big men. So they continue to drive a car around, that they are borrowing money to fuel. Of what use is that? What kind of nonsense is that? You are not the one driving the car. The car is driving you. And there's no point in pressing anybody. You want to buy a car? Buy a car that you can afford. There's no point borrowing money to buy one. It's a depreciating asset. From the first day you buy it, its value begins to go down. It's not an asset. It's a liability. And I find around here, people would rather buy a brand new car than buy a house. Because you don't drive a house around. So how will people know that we have arrived? I know we quote Philippians 4:13 a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But read the whole context. Read the previous verses. So that's not what Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, he was saying that I have learned how to abound and how to be abased. How to be full, how to be empty, how to have, how not to have. He said, I have learned how to be content in whatever state I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My wealth is not only material. Give yourself time. We're too much in a hurry. To get what? Develop contentment. Well, number three, pay your debts. Pay your consumer debts. You want to fight poverty? Pay your consumer debts. There are two dimensions of debt here. For me, two definitions. Borrowing to consume, borrowing to invest, they are two different levels. And the unfortunate thing I find is that there are too many people who borrow to consume. In other words, what you borrowed money to do is not something that will bring money to you. It's money that is spent and gone forever. You spent your future up front. Money that you would earn next year or next month or 2 years' time, that's what you spent ahead of time.
By the time you arrive there, there will be nothing. Okay? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The Message Bible says the poor are always ruled over by the rich. So don't borrow and put yourself under their power. It's easy at the point at which you borrow. It's when you need to pay back and you can't. That's when you go through emotions, anguish, fear, anxiety that you did not factor in. And the money is already gone. And those things make it difficult for you to even get out of the pit. You remember 2 Kings chapter 4? The widow whose husband died. The husband had been a man of God. The husband died. And the creditors. The man had probably used his two sons as collateral for loans. The creditors came to take the two sons away. No. A woman who just lost her husband was about to lose her two sons too. Don't sell your future. Okay? Be very careful. Don't make it a habit to be borrowing money around from people. Don't. You develop sound, strong financial management habits. Borrowing for consumer purposes or for consumption, fight it. If you've already borrowed money like that, I'm asking you tonight, set a target to get out of it. Fix an amount monthly. When you've built up your emergency savings, that's 2 to 6 months equivalent of your monthly expenses. In fact, if you are owing money, keep it at 3 months equivalent of your monthly expenses. The money that you've been saving, begin to use it to pay debt. Begin to offset your debt. Start with the debt that has the highest interest, because that's the one that puts you in trouble fastest. When you borrow, interest is not your friend. If you are the lender, interest is your friend. But when you're a borrower, interest is not your friend. If you have a car loan, pay it off as fast as you can. I know they're beginning to give car loans out now. It brings some leverage, brings some relief. If you get it, pay it off as fast as you can. I would prefer, really, if you can, wait a little bit. The money you would have used to pay it, save it. And prepare. For your first car, it may give you leverage. Okay, but pay it off. When you are done paying it, ride or drive that car for at least 3 extra years after you finish the payment, while paying the regular monthly payment into a savings account. And then after 3 years, take the money you have saved plus the residual value of the vehicle. If you trade it in, use it to buy another car. Especially on this car issue, don't try to impress anybody. Amen. Focus on functionality. For me, of what use is a car? You won't sleep inside it. It's something to take you from one point to the other. Period. There are other things you can use to show your self-esteem and show how powerful you are, but not a depreciating asset. All right? Good. I will encourage, if you can, accelerate the rate of cancellation of debt. Accelerate the rate. If you have an asset that you can sell, really, sell it. Add the money to paying off your debt. Accelerate and get out of debt as fast as you can. Finally, for tonight, when you are done paying off your debt, and I should emphasize this, please communicate with your creditors. Stop running away from the people you owe. Good advice. From some people who come to church and who sit at the back. Or who know where their creditor normally sits in church. And they sit at the other end. And then they don't want to wait for us to share the grace. Hallelujah. You know, they make it look like they have a very important appointment to keep. You know. Stop running away from the person you owe. walk up to the person, have a plan for getting out. Have a plan. This is how much I can afford monthly. Listen, a borrower, including a bank, will prefer to get a regular amount from you, a small amount, than to get nothing. So discuss with your creditor. Lay out your plan. Let it be reasonable and start out. And please, walk in integrity. Walk in it. Don't show up and say, well, I don't even know. So how are we going to get the money now? Say, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. Is it sorry that the creditor will eat? Sorry. Say what you are going to do. So how much are you going to pay? Say, well, I don't really know. Then why did you come? Okay? You are wasting the man's time or the woman's time. Have a plan. And please agree on what to do and be faithful to your word. Deal with your creditor with integrity. Amen. The days of financial slavery are over. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Save for major purchases and for investment. Save for major purchases and for investment. Now, just a little tidbit there, and we'll pray. Save for major purchases and for investment. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 30, verses 24 and 25. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Wow. In the Message Bible, it says there are four small creatures, wisest of the wise they are. Ants, frail as they are, get plenty of food in for the winter. Preparation. That's all. Saving. Gathering. So, Solomon said, they are small. They're tiny. Physically, they are weak, but they leverage on their brains. And they leverage on principles. You can leverage on the power of saving to climb out of the hole of poverty. I have done it. I've practiced it. I've seen how powerful it is. The starting point, review your life purpose and goals. Take the long look. Okay, you've paid your creditors. Now, you have capacity to save money in preparation for the future. What is your life purpose and what are your major goals? If you've not set goals for 5 years' time, 10 years' time, you will blow all your money now not realizing it's just seed money. It's just seed money. Your harvest is not here yet. It's just seed money. So take the long view. And I will encourage that you be aggressive in saving. As your income increases, peg your expenses. Limit your expenses. I know, I'm telling you, it will be difficult to escape the messages that come to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 11, Solomon said, when riches are increased, so are they that eat them. A man by the name Parkinson established a law. Expenses will always rise to meet income. As soon as your income increases, you will be surprised. There will be spirits that will be running after you. Now that you have more money, spend more. When you step, in the first place, of course, you will walk into supermarkets and malls that you could not visit before. And as you are walking through, everything there will be talking to you. Buy me. Come on. Exercise your power. Shame poverty. Put the devil to shame. Show your power. Buy me. And of course, you want to impress people. How can they come to your house, somebody of your status, and see that kind of TV set? That small TV set. By the large screen. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yes. You have started. And then before you realize it, you are owing money. I thought it was a new salary. I thought it was increment. All of a sudden, it's not enough any longer. Fight to limit your expenses. Okay? So, when you get a raise, keep your expenses where it is. Let the surplus increase. Save aggressively. For what purposes? Your children's education. Your children's education. University education will be more expensive 15 years from now than it is now. Start saving. Okay? Save for your children's education. Save for building a home or buying a home. Save aggressively towards buying land or buying a home. But savings gives you leverage. Save towards buying a car. Save towards buying a car. Save towards starting a business. Save towards starting a business in an environment like this where for now we're still praying, but the leverage isn't there that much here for somebody who wants to start a business. Save for starting a business. Save for investment for the future. Just save for investment to be able to buy shares, buy land, invest in a business. Save for retirement. And that's for you to be able to get to the point where the returns from your investment is enough to pick your bill. That's when we say you are in retirement. Don't ever plan to stop working. There is nowhere in the Bible, except for priests in the Old Testament, that they said should stop doing the work of a priest at the age of 50. There is nowhere in the Bible that you will find the Bible saying somebody should go into retirement and stop doing anything. Once you stop, you're on your way out. I mean, of this world. But I'm talking about you not having to work the whole of your life to be able to eat. If you have enough in investment, somewhere along the line, the returns from investment will be enough to take care of you. Keep the basic principles. Be consistent. Don't save this month, not save next month. Be consistent. Take advantage of compound interest. Invest your money wisely. Invest your money wisely. We'll still talk about that in details some other time. And when saving, especially for a business, be patient. Make sure you've saved enough to tide you over the first few years. Very important. Let me close with Luke chapter 16 and verse 11, where Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Very, very powerful verse of scripture. In the New Century Version, it says, if you cannot be trusted with worldly riches, then who will trust you with true riches? The Message Bible, verses 10 and 11 of Luke 16, Jesus went on to make these comments. If you are honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. Verse 11 says, if you are not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? Wow. Please remember this. Nobody owns anything in this world. God owns everything. He entrusts his resources to people. What you are doing with the little that you have today already indicates what you will do with more. Saving gives you leverage. It's one battle that you must win, sir. It's one battle that you must win. In our church, I discovered when we began to save that when we would have, say, 5 million naira in the account, we wanted to buy something that was 8 million naira or 10 million. It made it easy for us to negotiate because we discovered there weren't many people in town who had 5 million naira cash sitting down somewhere. So the person who is selling, when he sees you've had capacity to gather 5 million, of course you'll be able to get the remaining 1 or 2 or 3 million naira. It increases the level of trust in your capacity. And so we saw it gave us, you know, leverage. Then we improved. We improved on that. By the time we would have like 50 million naira in the account, we could negotiate heavy. When we bought this property, saving gave us leverage. Because the first check that we dropped was 200 million naira, one check, one bank draft. Who won't want to do business with somebody who can afford to pay 200 million naira cash? We've done that several times since then. But you need to know what it takes. It takes fighting. I'm telling you, it takes you seeing the money there and refusing and asking for alternatives. Alternative solutions. Money, what I say all the time in our office, money is not the solution to every problem. Money is not the solution. We need ideas, creative ideas. And God blessed me with a good memory for figures. So if I signed money for something last week or 2 weeks ago, and you bring the thing again, I'm likely to spot it. What is this thing? Where is the one we bought last week? Okay, you know, some people think when you become a millionaire or a billionaire, you don't even bother. They spend, it can be nonsense. How much is a light bulb? How much? Take, Joe. They don't take like that, too. That spirit that we're talking about on Sunday, Agbano, the thing has started his journey. Like that, once you start throwing the thing away, Jesus fed a large crowd of people, thousands of people, with bread and fish. After everybody had gone, you know what he said to his disciples? He said, gather the fragment, that nothing be wasted. He said, once you become a waster of the fragment, you will eventually get to the whole bread. God will entrust. The Spirit of God is telling me he has resources to deposit. This series is not for raising millionaires, it's for raising billionaires. God has heavy resources that he wants to entrust. Can you be trusted? Do you have enough discipline? Can you hold yourself? Can you see that you have the power to take it, but refuse to take it because the Spirit of God don't give you the permission to do so? That's very important. The fact that somebody is your friend and he's in serious trouble is no guarantee, no reason for you to take the money and to give the person. Very important. Did God ask you to do so? That's the point. So you really feel for the person. You really think the Holy Spirit say, don't. Can you stop? That's what we're talking about. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Mm-hmm. Some things are for children, some things are for sons. Mature sons. What God is about to deliver is for mature sons. Did I hear you say amen? If you can't handle small matters, he said, who will put you in charge of the store? God wants to put some people in charge of what? The store. Somebody say with me, I want to keep the store. I'm not fighting for survival anymore. I want to be a manager of God's resources. If you believe it, say amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive grace tonight. Grace to break beyond every limitation imposed on you by this environment. Where others failed before, you will succeed. Whatever stopped others will not be able to stop you. I prophesy that the spirit of poverty, the spirit of lack, the spirit of wastage that is in this environment, that spirit will not be able to catch up with you anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus. When famine is ravaging the whole world, you will have a lot in your store. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy a new season of increase in your life. I prophesy multiplication in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Stretch forth your hands towards this communion table and prophesy. Your freedom from lack, freedom from poverty, freedom from destruction. I am free. Lord, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that is living through me. Please go ahead. The me that should have been poor died with Jesus on the cross. I'm finished with poverty forever. And tonight I declare, not only am I free, I've become an agent of deliverance for many. Whoever I bless is blessed. That's what the Bible said. And I declare tonight, I'm going to deliver people from poverty. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. I am a carrier of good news to the poor. Down my generation from here, no more poverty. My children will not be poor. My grandchildren will not be poor. My great-grandchildren cannot be poor if Jesus tarries. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. May I ask tonight, as we're standing, if honestly, because this is where it begins from, you know your life is not right with God. While we're standing and praying, just before we take the communion, Pastor Simon, pray with me. My life is not mine. It belongs to God. I've not been living right with God. I want God to forgive my sins. I want everybody to remain standing, please. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you just put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to pray with you. A quick prayer before we pray over the communion. Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. Please put your hand on your heart. And perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart quickly? I'd like to pray with you. If your hand is on your heart, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who said this prayer. Let your power touch them tonight. As you destroy the nature of sin from their lives, thank you for accepting them as your children. Thank you for this miracle of transformation in Jesus' name.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashrng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.